This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you're listening to Beyond the Ballot Box with me, Dashrin Johan. There has been a series of protests organized by youth activist group Secretariat Solidarity Rakyat. Now, you might remember pictures from a few weeks ago of protesters in PPEs carrying mock dead bodies, waving black flags. And this was followed then by the convoy protest last week, where protesters across the nation sat in their cars and drove to dedicated spots while waving black flags. And this coming Saturday on the 31st of July, the organizers are planning an even bigger protest at Dataran Merdeka and are urging the rakyat to hashtag Lawan. So joining me on the show today is Kira Yusri, who's the co-founder of Undi 18. She's a regular guest here at BFM, and she's also one of the key figures at Secretariat Solidarity Rakyat. Welcome to the show, Kira. How are you today? I mean, it seems like, you know, you've been standing inside and outside police stations quite a lot over the past few weeks. How are you doing?
Yeah, I think TLDR is a pretty bad week to become a youth activist, you know. So I think it's not just Secretariat Solidarity Rakyat, but I was also in solidarity with Heidi Kwa yesterday as well, you know, a few days ago at court where she was charged. So I think, you know, it feels like every day I wake up this week, there is some form of like intimidation by the state in Malaysia when young people are speaking up. So I think that's just where we are at right now, Dashrin.
So let's talk about the convoy protest that happened last week. What inspired that particular protest?
I think, one thing is that, you know, protesting is a form of freedom expression here in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And I think for when it comes to the pandemic, we have to be very creative in how do we express our opinions and our voices. And I think the car convoy was one of was an idea. You know, it's not new, right? I mean, people overseas have done it before. And then we thought that, you know, it's a great way to maintain safety and social distancing because everyone is within your own car. You know, and then on our side, you know, the Secretariat made a, you know, we made a notice to make sure that only 2 person per car as per SOP. And you know, we could see that nationwide people are picking it up and, you know, they were just driving in their own cars, either, you know, hanging a black flag or just putting a black T-shirt attached to their window. Because, the high traction shows that, you know, people want to keep speaking up, you know, and I think over the past few months, we've done various forms of Black Flags protests. I think from people just posting Black Flags on, you know, in social media, hanging right outside their houses. And then you see people on Twitter and Instagram also wearing black to vaccinations, you know, just to make a point. So I think, you know, the people are looking for avenues to just speak up. And I think for civil society, we're looking for how do we create this platform so that people can you know, have that space to vent their frustrations.
When we look at these protests, right, I mean, a protest isn't there to just show sort of discontent with someone or something or you know, the establishment. Usually, you know, you are demanding something as well. So what were the demands made during these protests?
I think the protests have made consistently a few demands. The first one being demanding that the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, to step down and so his entire cabinet. Second one is to both end the emergency and reopen Parliament to, you know, fully, not what we have now, which is a presentation, and then they discuss about it. And then last but not least is having a full moratorium with no exceptions. I think what we have now is not a moratorium, it's more of a loan restructure with even Bank Negara coming out saying that, you know, it's not actually what people understand it as. It's clear that the government is not putting in mechanisms or methods to support the people. And that's clearly by how, you know, they forced everyone to go into a movement control order for the past, what, 2-3 months. And instead of having our numbers going down as they promised it would be, it has ballooned and, you know, increased exponentially to, I think today, the past few days, it has been about, you know, between 15 to 17,000 cases per day. So I think all of this just it bubbles up into a lot of anger and frustration because it's not just about getting sick or you know, losing your lives or having your loved ones dying without being able to be by their side, but it's also the economic harm that that this pandemic has brought through with the lockdowns, with the uncertain SOPs. We have companies, small businesses closing up. My favorite kopitiam, Dashran, in Masjid Jami has closed.
Oh, no.
Friday is the last day. So please go support these aunties called Sin Hai Hao. These aunties are closing up their shop because, they can't survive anymore because of the lockdown. And, and even if you install a lockdown, you need to also pump out cash to the people. So I think just, based on all of these gaps that the government has created, the people just has had enough lah.
When it comes to these protests, right, how has the participation been with the first one? I'm guessing most of them were activists, maybe some friends of activists, but within the circle. Yeah. But what about the convoy one? Y'all put out a call nationwide.
Yeah.
What was the participation like?
I think we estimate, as far as we know, about at least 100 or more vehicles participating in it, either through bicycles or motorbikes or cars, and we don't know how many more that did it without informing SSR or putting it on social media.
Right.
So I think the reception, it's a very ingenious way of protesting. I think many people hopped onto it just because it's quite accessible, and we never advocated for breaking SOPs. Stay within 10 kilometers of your home, protest safely. And I think, many people just saw that as like an opportunity to display their dissatisfaction.
When we look at the aftermath of that protest, reports indicate that the authorities called in and investigated so many people after the protest. And it's not just organizers, because a lot of time, the first time when it was in Dataran Merdeka, a couple of organizers got called in. And that is normal. That is to be expected.
Yeah.
So, but this is, it seems like just regular participants, a lot of them are getting called in. So what exactly happened? Perhaps you can paint a clearer picture.
Yeah. So I think especially with the car protests, I think the police, managed to contact the people participating in it. And I guess they just called out anyone that had a black flag outside their car, right? Whether they were part of the convoy or not. And I think, because of that, When the people were called in to questioning, it was their first time being questioned. Many of them is their first protest even. So you can clearly see how in a way insecure this government is. Even this a thing like this is a threat to them, right? It's very concerning that when people are finding safe and peaceful avenues to speak up, they get called to the police, because being called to the police is not a joke, right? It's not a casual sembang lepak kopi. It's an investigation. It is an interrogation, and for many people, it's not something that you look forward to. So I think these actions and what the government is asking the police to do is essentially suppressing freedom of expression. I think if it's not like the protests, the car convoy, the Dataran protests were dangerous protests,
right.
We didn't harm anyone. We didn't, intentionally destroy or vandalize anything. We just came out and made a point. That's it. And to see this kind of clamping down, this kind of reaction from the state and the law enforcement is very, very concerning. And I think it speaks volumes about the level of, freedom of expression that we have here in Malaysia.
And as organizers, how do y'all coordinate, when y'all start finding out, someone from this state and this town, they are getting called up by the police here and there.
Yeah.
How do y'all deal with the situation?
Yeah, I think for the SSR, what they've done is they set up a legal hotline, so if they need legal help, we're working with some really amazing lawyers, I think through the Bar Council, especially through Raj Surian. Whenever someone calls in or WhatsApp saying that, they got called, they got contacted by the special branch or the police, they just let the organizers know through the hotline. And I think it makes it very easy for the team to coordinate with lawyers so that we ensure that nobody goes to the police questioning by themselves without legal representation.
And we've also learned, Kira, that investigations, because this convoy protests, it happened a few days ago, but we've learned that investigations are still going on till today. and that participants are being investigated now under the Penal Code and also the Communications and Multimedia Act. I think your co-founder of Undi 18, Tharma, is... Yeah. has been called multiple times.
Yes, I think this is his third time being called by the police.
So what is this latest round of investigations? Because as far as I know, from what I've read in reports, he was in the police station for 6 hours the other day. And then after that, now there's more investigations going on. Maybe you can clarify some things.
I think... Obviously, I'm on the perspective that I feel all of this is very unnecessary.
You know,
I don't think young people should be hauled up to the police station just to ask on their intent. You know, I mean, if anything, I mean, you know, if they want to be questioned for an event that's yet to happen, I mean, I think that that's just a very dangerous precedent to like, you know, what, I mean, how can young people plan ahead or how can like stuff like that? I mean, we can't allow this kind of acts of intimidation to continue, right, for young activists. I think for the questioning that's being happened tomorrow, I think there are going to be questions about the bigger protest that's happening on the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, I think we've been very clear that, you know, we just, the SSR just want to gather at Dataran Merdeka. They just want to, you know, have a space to have some speeches, to have to voice out their frustrations. And we're, the team is also publishing multiple guidelines, SOPs. We'll be giving out hand sanitizers. We've also managed to get donations of face masks, COVID self-tests, self-testing COVID kits, as well as hand sanitizers. So we have people, I think, you know, making sure that the process and the event goes well and goes safely. So I think, you know, it's just something to be aware of. You know, I think for people to understand that these are all things that organizers have put time and effort into researching and planning, and we've put a lot of thought into it. It's not just something that, you know, we pulled it out of, like, you know, out of thin air and say, let's just go and turun jalan. Hmm. Yeah.
On the show with me today is Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18, and one of the key figures at Secretariat Solidarity, Rakyat. After the break, I'll be talking to her about the protest they have planned for this Saturday. We'll be back on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Beyond the Ballot Box. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Kira Yusri, who's the co-founder of Undi 18 and one of the key figures at Secretariat Solidarity Rakyat. And we're talking about a series of protests that they've been organizing in recent months, as well as the protest that will be taking place this Saturday, the 31st of July, at Dataran Merdeka. So, Kira, you know, speaking of this Saturday's protest at Dataran Merdeka, what is unique about it and how will it be different from the previous protests?
I think what's different this time is that the 31st protest is going to be open to the public.
Mm.
The one previously, it was, except of course the convoy, you know, the Buka Parlimen, Buka Pasal Buka Parlimen, Undi 18 Now, and what is the other one? The Dataran one.
Yep.
They were not open to the public. It was just through, you know, the coalition of NGOs that brought in the numbers. So I think, you know, this time it will be open to the public. So, you know, things may get a bit more unpredictable. But I think it's an important step for our democracy to hold our politicians accountable. I think, you know, what's even another concerning area in terms of like, you know, the clampdown so far is that there have not been, I don't think, any members of parliament that have spoken up about the Lawan protesters being called to questioning by the police. And I think, you know, I know we're all very busy with parliament reopening and all that, but I think, you know, these clampdowns on youth activists and the general public shouldn't be tolerated either. So I think hopefully we'll see more support on that end as well.
Are the demands, so basically because these demands have been set for quite some time, so from protest to culmination of sorts this Saturday, are the demands still the same?
Yeah, I think the demands are still the same and consistent because we're still not getting a full parliamentary sitting.
Mm-hmm.
The moratorium that's been announced is still not automatic and it's still, you know, it still favours the banks more than the people. And of course, a lot of the problems that comes out from the government decision-making has been green-lighted by the Prime Minister. So I think he needs to be held accountable to it and resign from his post to allow, you know, for more, you know, to allow for democracy to function as it should, and we go back to parliament properly and vote for a new administration.
Are there a lot of civil society organizations that are in support of this? Because we know that this is a number of different youth activist groups have come together to form the secretariat. But outside of that, are you sensing a lot of support from civil society in general and NGOs?
Yeah, I think as we lead up to the big protests and, you know, more and more really messed up things are happening, you know, I think we are seeing more and more increased support from civil society organizations. It's gotten to the point where, like, you know, we're trying to say that what else can we do? We can't do another online protest because it's not working. We can't just keep asking people to wave white flags and black flags to ask for help or to show dissatisfaction. We don't see any other method to voice our dissatisfaction. So, you know, we're opening up, you know, the opportunity to participate in a protest to everyone this time because for that specific reason.
Earlier you brought up the safety aspect of the convoy protest, right? But many argue that this Saturday's protest will cause a spike in COVID-19 cases. How do you respond to this?
I think the past few outdoor protests that the SSR have organized has not created any cluster, there are no recorded cases of COVID from this protest on this activity so far. And I think more importantly, if we look at the Harta Doctor contract movement that did their walkout just a few days ago, clearly protests can be done in a pandemic if you take the right measures and if you make sure that everyone has the supplies needed. So that's what the SSR is trying to do. Obtain enough PPEs, face shield, face masks. You know, we're going to encourage everyone to double mask, you know, to make sure that everyone has hand sanitizers or, you know, someone nearby has it. And also, I think research has also shown that, you know, with COVID-19, the odds of getting contracting the disease is much, much, much lower outdoors, right? You can see, you know, the past 6 months have shown that there are no COVID clusters that came from any of the protests, but there have been multiple COVID clusters coming from workplaces. So I think, you know, while that is a legitimate concern, I think the thing is that if you over prepare for it, we can make sure that, you know, that risk is extremely minimal.
And on that note, right, I was talking to some key activists from Bursay 2.0, the Bursay 2.0 protest the other day, you know, some veterans who have done protests, so many, many, many protests over the many years. And they said that the reason there hasn't been much organizations and mobilization from CSOs and NGOs over the past year is because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So how did you guys sort of make the mental calculation? How do you all do the calculation where you came to a conclusion that not doing this protest is a bigger risk for the people than doing this protest?
Yeah, I think the decision, I think the decision came from when the numbers hit like a number that we never imagined before. You know, when daily cases were 10,000, 10,000, and today it's 17,000. And then not to mention the amount of COVID-19 deaths being reported as well. But I think a more tragic number, I guess, and the calculation that contributed to the decision is that the amount of people that has committed suicide this year alone. I think that's an extremely tragic statistic. It clearly shows that, you know, as a country, the people, you know, our mental health numbers are going are rising higher than ever. The amount of domestic violence cases that NGOs have had to deal with, the amount of, for someone like Heidi, I think she's talked multiple times, the amount of food aid that she has to give out through an NGO has doubled and tripled since the pandemic. I think all of this, you know, when it was compounded together, the announcement of 10,000 cases was the breaking point, I think, for many people, at least for me, you know. And I think I just felt like, what other options do we have? How else, like, you know, do I start another petition? Do I, like, how many open letters or statements can we write? How many more tweets can we send? You know, and I think that's what, you know, many people feel as well. And that's why they want to come down to protest.
So you mentioned the SOPs that are in place. Perhaps you can break down some of the the important measures that y'all have taken, some of the instructions that you guys will be giving or already have given to potential participants.
Yeah.
What are these SOPs and how can participants take care of themselves and stay safe?
Yeah, I think first of all the communications for the Lawan protest will be sent on the Telegram channel. So it's on t.me/LawanMSIA. So I think all the SOPs, all the instructions, all the guidelines will be posted there alongside, with like, you know, what do you do if the police contacts you? What are some of the masks that we advise for you to have and things like that. So I think some of the SOPs that we're taking is that making sure everyone will be social distancing. So we're going to be using, umbrellas and flags to make sure that everyone is spaced out. There will be a team of, volunteers making sure that people are constantly, having hand sanitizers on standby, having first aid kits. We're also encouraging people to get tested for COVID before the event, either through the self-test kit that has been approved by KKM or getting a PCR RTK test. We've also, however, because we understand it's the pandemic and not everyone is vaccinated at the moment, we're also encouraging people that, if you live with small children or with people with comorbidities or senior citizens to not come down on Saturday because, we want to make sure that the protest is as safe as possible and that, you don't impact, family members that didn't go down as well. So we're also putting out those PSAs to ensure that, as much as possible, we minimize the risks during the protests.
And have there been attempts by the authorities to get you to cancel this protest?
I think not explicitly so far, as far as I know. But I think the amount of police questioning, that's almost 30 people have been called, just by participating in the Lawan protest or tweeting about it. I think it shows that the government is watching considering take action on the protests.
Now, another argument I've heard from some, whether it's people on, perhaps people who are pro-government, perhaps people within the government, or maybe just cyber troopers on social media, is that, these protests, whether it's the black flags, raising black flags in general, or, the convoy protests and what you guys have organized and what y'all are planning to carry out this Saturday, these are anti-government propaganda or, pro-opposition movements and things like that. How do you respond to this?
That's a very interesting question, Dasha. I think for people who say this is a pro-opposition protest and activity, I think it's very clear. You can see that no politician has talked about the protest this weekend, not even opposition. Again, disappointingly, there are not many politicians on either side talking about the clampdown that has happening on young activists for the past few days. And I think the answer to that is that I don't think the people that are going on the protests are specifically pro-opposition or anti-government in that extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what is clear is that everyone is saying that this administration can do better. We deserve good governance, we deserve transparency, we deserve a better management of this pandemic, we deserve more information, more data about vaccination numbers and the process to procure them. And I think those are just very simple demands that we're asking from no matter who is in the government. So I think by calling out the failures of this administration, it does not mean that, we are automatically voting for an entirely different party or coalition. But the thing is, people are articulating their dissatisfaction on the situation, and they're asking for people. They're asking for something. They're asking for a change, and they are not stopped, and they will not rest until that change happens.
Now, Kira, as we wrap up this conversation, right? Mm-hmm. There might be perhaps listeners who may be interested in engaging with the protests, but they may be afraid reading the reports that have come out in recent days, recent weeks about how many young activists are getting called up. What would you tell them?
I would just tell people, this year is my first year of me joining protest, despite being a youth advocate for the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. I think the situation has become so bad that we don't have any other options to voice out about what's happening, voicing out about the death, about the people getting sick. So while there are always concerns from in joining a protest, I think the organizers will try their best to make sure that it's safe. They've contacted legal teams. They're making sure that, logistics-wise, we're able to provide sufficient protection to everyone. I think people need to understand that we're at a point of no return whereby we don't see any other platforms that where we can genuinely be heard, mm-hmm. mean, I would just ask people, how many more tweets can we send? How many more Clubhouse sessions can we sit in? How many more press statements can we co-sign? I think they come to a point where action is needed, and the action has to come from the people and not waiting, and not, we're not, we shouldn't be just waiting for politicians to make that change.
Just one last thing. You brought up your strict SOPs about how, if you're someone who came into close contact, if you're living with people with high risk and all that, you are saying, perhaps it's a dangerous time to come out. It's more important to stay home, stay safe. So to those people, if they would still like to engage with what's going on, nonetheless, how can they go about it?
Yeah, I think what's important is taking a stand to show solidarity with the protesters that are coming out this weekend. I think it's going to be very uncertain. It's going to be quite, unpredictable. So I think if there are people who are not able to go down or go out because of safety issues or health issues, I think it's important to mobilize your community to provide support to the protesters, either, donating later on for legal funds, or, I think SSR would also appreciate any form of donations in the form of a mask or hand sanitizers. And I think more importantly is also keeping up the momentum on social media, because clearly we can see this is a government that is quite attentive to what's happening. So I'm not saying that they are reacting to what's on social media, but clearly they know that people are angry, right? By the way they react, by the way they attempt to placate us. So I think the momentum needs to happen both online and offline. And I think that's what the people can do as well this weekend. Just use the hashtag Lawan to share your concerns, provide support, moral support, and making sure that you don't stop talking about it to your family, friends, because I think while we can run campaigns and we can go out, the toughest conversation to have oftentimes are the people closest to you. So I think that's a very important thing to emphasize to people out there who aren't able to go down and protest.
On that note, Kira, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much, Dashran, for having me.
I've been speaking to Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18 and one of the key figures at the Secretariat Solidarity Rakyat, the organizers behind the protest that will be taking place this Saturday, the 31st of July at Dataran Merdeka. If you missed any part of the conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.